We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
And I want us to pray, because this morning, of course, I don't know how many of you heard, in Sri Lanka, I think it's up to 100 people were killed in Christian churches across Sri Lanka with terrorists that once again are attacking the Christian faith. And, you know, this week I've been talking to a friend of mine who is based in Baghdad, and he's involved in our military and helping represent and fight for our freedom. And lives were lost this week over there, and we're going to pray for people, and we're going to continue to believe God for just the church to be strong and triumphant in the name of Jesus. You would have seen Notre Dame, the great cathedral church in Paris, was ruined by fire, and the outpouring of generosity and support to see that amazing facility restored is just goes to show that people love the church. Who can say amen to that? Can we pray this morning? Can we really do take some time to pray for those who are in Sri Lanka, those who serve in our military? Matter of fact, I know right now some of our friends are watching all over the world. We want to let you know we love you so much. Can you say amen, church? We are with you. There's a psalm. Look at this psalm real quick. Let's throw this psalm up. Psalm 91. This is what it says. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest under the shadow of the Almighty. Look what it says. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him whom I trust. Look what it says. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare. This is a great psalm for anybody, but for our military. Look at it. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. Look what it says. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find Him, you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Look at this. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. I love it. Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Look at it. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you, declares the Lord. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for those in Sri Lanka whose lives were lost. Let those who did it, Lord, be brought to justice. We pray for the church that, Lord, in it all and through it all, she would be stronger. Lord, when you knock it down, she only gets back up again, stronger and more determined. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for our military who couldn't even be here this Easter, but Lord, you are with them, and we are with them in our prayers. Bless them, we pray. Let that psalm be real. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give God some praise if you believe it. Amen. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. You can be seated. Boy, did we have a fun day yesterday. I was so proud of our volunteers and our workers. Like Josh had mentioned earlier, we're connecting, of course, to our Seaboard Road campus as well. And but our volunteers and our workers were just amazing. To go to Plan C goes to show the depth of the planning that should, you know, things happen like an unexpected, complete, unexpected thunderstorm that just saturated the entire property. And then to have the skydiving team to say it was too windy. And then, of course, to figure out how do we move everything that was supposed to be put all down there, put up here. How do we still do the egg hunt? And you know, the thing that amazed me the most was how kind and gracious our guests were, how appreciative they were. I'm a little stressed out because I'm like, look at this long line. If we're on the field, everybody just want to run out all at once. And yet everybody was so complimentary, and it was just done with great excellence. Thank you, seriously, thank you to all of our volunteers. I've never been more proud of you. And to be honest with you, I just let all our team make the decisions, and I just took hands off. And I'd be honest with you, I wouldn't have made the decisions our team made. And I got nervous when I heard the decisions they made. They were right. I would have been wrong. And that's the power of a great team. Amen? Show your love for them. Amen? Matthew 11. I just want to read to you just a verse, and I want to bring out just a couple of quick thoughts here on this Easter Sunday morning. You know, yesterday Sharon and I went to Walmart. We had to buy some some, what do you call it? Like water shoes, boat shoes, because we're going whitewater rafting tomorrow. Praise the Lord. We're excited about it. We can't wait. I'm so excited. They tell you, you can't put your feet down on the ground if you fall out of a whitewater raft because your foot could get stuck between some rocks and you could drown, which ruined my plan for pushing everybody overboard because I thought I don't want that on my conscience. But we went to Walmart. We went there to buy some boat shoes. Now, here we are, Easter Sunday morning. We're in church. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if you came to church and you didn't get Jesus? Amen. Like, if you're going to go to Walmart, you're going to go and you're going to get what you go to Walmart for. This is God's house. And I pray in and all and through it all. It wasn't just some nice songs and a nice sermon. I pray people really encounter Jesus this morning. What a misrepresentation it would be of church to people to come to church and not experience the presence of Jesus. Amen. So here we go. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Isn't it interesting that Jesus separates himself from religion? He says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. How many know that's Jesus personified right there? That is, are you tired? Are you worn out? And I want to give you a few thoughts just on those few verses this morning. Is that okay? Because I was just thinking about this morning because did you know that even Jesus got tired? Did you know that? The Bible says in John chapter 4 that Jesus was tired from his journey and he sat at a well and he turned to a woman and he said to this woman, he says, woman, would you give me something to drink? And she was a Samaritan woman. Jesus was already crossing boundaries of what was and wasn't acceptable in culture because a man should never talk to a woman, let alone a Jewish man talk to a Samaritan woman. Jesus is breaking every boundary. That's what I love about Jesus. He is a boundary and a cultural breaker. And he's talking to this woman. The woman can't believe that he's even talking to her. And of course, the long story cut short, the Bible says the disciples went in to buy food and bring it back because he was tired. So even Jesus got tired. So if you've ever felt tired this morning, can I just say to you, even Jesus got tired. But I love what re-energized him. It says, as he talked with this woman and he had a conversation with her, and as he shared with her the love of God, the love of Christ, the forgiveness of God, seeing past her worst and being able to bring out her best, for she actually had five husbands and the one she's living with now wasn't a husband, and yet this woman's life was turned around, not by the judgment or the knowledge of Christ, but by the love and the mercy and the compassion of Christ. And then the disciples come back and say, Jesus, you need to eat something. And Jesus goes, I'm good. Who's ever gotten so tired? You go, I can't take another step. Somebody bring the food to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not going any further. I'm just sitting here. And they come back and Jesus has got all his strength back. They left him. He was tired. The disciples went to get the food to bring it to him. Now he's not hungry anymore. What refreshed Jesus, listen to this, was even in the middle of his tiredness, of his humanity, he still showed love to people that needed to have love shown to them. Can I say to you and I, one of the things that I believe will cause us to experience tiredness is just living life as we do. But what will refresh you and what will refresh me and what refreshed Jesus is even in your moment of weakness, we still reach out to others and show them love in Jesus' name. Amen? That will refresh you. And the disciples are all going, Rabbi, eat, Master, eat. He says, I've got food that you know nothing about. And they said, who fed him? And this is what Jesus said, my meat, my food is to do the will of God. There was no doubt he was tired there at the well. There was no doubt there. He lost his strength. His energy was drained.
But once again, as he lifted himself out of himself, got past his own humanity, and just once again saw the needs of people are so great and ever present and always all around us. And once again, he pulled himself up and shared the love of God. It was there that he found strength and meat. And it says, what gives me strength, what refreshes me is showing people the love of God. I'm not tired anymore. I'm not hungry anymore. I'm re-energized. And I pray that we would know refreshing, not just be thinking about ourselves, but what refreshes you and what refreshes me is what refreshes Jesus. Come on, let's keep showing people love even when we're tired. Amen. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out in religion? Come to me. Religion will burn you out. Somebody say amen. Hey, if the horse is dead, dismount. We're trying to give CPR to things that I believe should remain dead. Burn out in religion? Religion has never brought anybody answers. Amen. You know, this idea of each to his own. People are deaf to words. They're tired. They're worn out. Did you realize that 56% of people in the United States have said that they're stressed or burnt out in 2017, according to the statistics? Why are so many Americans found in this way? Well, I believe it's for a few reasons. One is because I think we've all been told what a dream looks like and what a promise looks like. And then when we get the dream, it doesn't quite give us the peace and the satisfaction. And now we're stressed going, well, what else is there? We thought the world would give us happiness, and the world isn't making us happy. Broken dreams, false promises. Our culture told us to get that dream house. That'll make us happy. Our culture has told us money will make you happy. Our culture has told us your job will give you peace. Your partner or your significant other that you share your life with, that'll give you a sense of purpose. We live in the best country in the world, and yet over half the population stressed. I mean, Jesus is saying, are you tired? Are you burnt out? Come on. Worn out on religion? Everything that the world tries to promise you that gives you peace, that removes stress, it just isn't working. We've seen more medical breakthroughs than ever before, yet sickness still overtakes us. We live in the best economy that the United States has ever seen, and yet money still doesn't give us happiness. Churches have failed us. They live in the past. They're unable to adapt to an ever-changing culture, to stay true to the teaching of Scripture and yet remain relevant to society. We live in a world where technology is advancing and communication has never been faster in the history of the world. And yet we've never been more alone or more isolated. What's up? Somebody say, what's up? Genesis 2. Let me show you what it looks like. I believe this all goes back to Genesis. It says, and the Lord commanded man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For if and when you eat from that, you will certainly die. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a serpent comes along and deceives this woman called Eve. And he said to her, you will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. And Eve ate from the one thing, from the one place that God said don't. The serpent lied to her. And let me tell you something, the serpent's still lying today. You see, that enemy came along and said to Eve, listen, who says God's got all the knowledge of what's good and what's evil? You can decide for yourself. You don't let God determine what's good and what's evil. You just do it for yourself. You won't die if you eat of that tree. And can I tell you, when we see a world that is so confused and so messed up, after we said to God, screw you, I'm not going to let you to define the rules for my life. I'll decide what's good and what's right and what's wrong. No wonder when we take that away from God and we say, God, we know more than you. It is a wonder. There is no wonder to me whatsoever. We live in a very confused and a very broken world. We need to get back to the garden and let God define for us. Come on, somebody. we say to God, we'll decide what a family should look like. We'll say to God, we decide what gender should look like. We'll decide right from wrong. We'll decide good from bad. Good from bad. We know better, God. Stay out of our courts. Stay out of our education. Stay out of our political system. Stay out of science. Stay out of the sexual lifestyle orientation. Stay out of social issues. We even want God off the dollar bill. Right. Amen. All this is summed up in one verse. And this is it. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. We have a lot of people today who are actually thinking, I'll decide for myself right from wrong. But can I just say that Jesus wants us to get back to the garden? Can somebody say amen? God, you're our creator. You made us. You know what's good for us, and you know what's bad for us. We will live to your wisdom. If somebody believes it, give God a big hand. Amen? You see, Jesus wants to refresh you, but what refreshes you isn't you deciding for yourself, but you actually learning to live by the wisdom of the Word of God. Here's the second thing I want to say to you, is that Jesus wants to walk with you. And I think that's such a cool thought, that Jesus wants, look what he says. He goes, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. There's nothing more powerful than seeing maybe a dad walking with their child. Hand in hand. I think we got a graphic. Actually, it's not even a father walking with their child, but it's a good picture nonetheless. This is our son, Sam, walking with his niece. His niece, Lennon. And I think to myself, that is such a cool picture. I just had to show it because it just goes to show that's what God wants to do with you and I. God, our Father, wants to walk with you and I. That's what he did with Adam in the garden, with Eve. He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, and God wants to walk with you. Listen to what Jesus says. I walk with me, work with me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you what real rest looks like. When you run, you can miss the moments of when miracles happen. Amen. The very first miracle that Jesus did was turning water into wine. Listen to me. He had to be there long enough for the wine to run out. He wasn't in a rush. He was at the wedding. He was there long enough for the wine to run out, and he was there long enough to do something about it. The fig tree that Jesus cursed. We don't see dead things in your life because we're running all the time. Jesus cursed a fig tree, and it says they walked past the fig tree, and they noticed after he cursed it, it had died. If they were running, they would never have noticed us. Never noticed it. Mark chapter 5, the Bible talks about Jairus' daughter, and it says Jesus walked to heal his daughter because of the crowd that was around him. Can I tell you, there's nothing more beautiful, there's nothing more powerful than to be able to walk with Jesus in your everyday life and to know that he is walking with you in your marriage, in your sickness, in your health, in your job. He's not running saying, come on, catch up with me. Are you tired, stressed out, burnt out of religion? Walk with me. I love that thought, don't you? Look what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, there's a great story here called Footprints in the Sand, and this is what it says. One night I had a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. From each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially in the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, that you would leave me. And he whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, that is when I carried you. That's what Jesus will do if you'll walk with him. Amen. Come on, let's walk with him. It says, In the book of Genesis, it speaks of Noah. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. And Noah was a man who was perfect in his generation. And Noah, watch this, walked with God. Maybe one of the things that just helps us do life better is learning how to walk. Get off the treadmill. Get out of the rat race and just learn to walk with Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Here's the third thing I want to say to you this Easter Sunday morning. Jesus didn't just influence with his words, but he was big on example. Listen to what he says. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. I think Jesus is wonderful. And I think this Resurrection Sunday morning, there's a few words that came to mind to me about this Sunday morning. Words like this, when Jesus says, watch how I do it. In other words, he said, don't do it like the Pharisees do it, because they're lording it over people. They're just holding themselves to one standard and holding everybody else to a different standard. Jesus says, come on, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Watch, walk with me. Watch how I do it. I will do it, and then I'm going to get you to do it. He wasn't just big on words. He was big on example. I think some of the times when Jesus showed us how to do it is the times when he showed kindness, when he showed power. I woke up this morning listening to my audio Bible, and it was right at that very scene when Jesus went across the lake to the other side. And there was a man found where he had all sorts of problems with demonic problems, and he was bound up with this thing called legion. In other words, so many demons, they were just, you couldn't count them. And Jesus walks over to the other side of this lake, and here is this man that used to terrorize people, used to run through the streets naked. They would literally chain him up and tie him, and this man would break the chains, such as the strength of this demonic manifestation. And then all of a sudden, I love this, he encounters Jesus, and this man is completely and totally set free. Can I tell you, this world today is full of people who got all sorts of problems, and we don't know how to treat them. But Jesus walks in, and the Bible says the whole crowd noticed that this man was fully clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he was in his right mind. This man was so taken by what Jesus did that when Jesus went back to the other side, he wanted to go with him. But I love Jesus. Jesus says, no, don't go with me. Stay here. Tell everybody the goodness of God. Let them see the evidence of what God has done in your life. Can I tell you, Jesus is powerful, and he can change your life. He can put you back in a right mind. Amen? He's kind. He's powerful. Not only is that, but Jesus knows what it is to show justice. He knows what it is to show mercy. And my favorite of all is Jesus was great at exposing hypocrisy. Can anybody say amen? Here's the fourth thought I've got for Easter. Jesus will never force you. Isn't that good to know? He will never force you. He says, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus removes striving. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Imagine all the work we've done in our lives to try to make life happen for us, to try to find peace, to try to find joy, to try to find meaning. And at the end of it all, you still come up lacking. Here's what Jesus says. If I'm building the house, your labor will not be in vain. He will not force himself on you. You can learn the unforced rhythms of grace. If he is building it, can I tell you, hell cannot prevail against it. And we've got to learn how to walk with him and watch him and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Amen. Think about Jacob. I love this guy. He's a guy in the Old Testament. He was a schemer. He was a manipulator. He was a liar. That's not the part I love about him. The part I love about him is this. All his life, he was trying to get happiness and joy and blessing. He did anything and everything he ever could to somehow get the hand of God and God's favor upon him. He tried everything, lying, stealing, manipulating. He ends up running from his father and running from his brother and running for his own life. And he runs into more trouble than he ever bargained for. And then all of a sudden he has this encounter with Jesus. And here he is wrestling. And he says to this angel who most people believe was the Lord. And in this moment, it's daylight. And this angel or Jesus, most people believe who it was, said, "Let me go. The sun's coming." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me. I have finally encountered heaven. I have finally encountered the goodness of God. I finally found what I'm looking for. I've been trying to get this through lying and stealing and manipulating. And now here it is in front of me. I ain't letting you go." And then the Bible says the Lord changed his name and said, "You will no longer be called Schemer, but your name will now be Israel." And Jacob, the Bible says, was changed in an instant. And this is what he says. Watch this. This is the unforced rhythms of grace. He said, "You mean to tell me the Lord wanted to give me all this all the time? And all my lying, and all my stealing, and all my striving, and all my manipulating, everything of my man's effort was a complete and total waste of time. All I had to do was learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That God wants me to have rest. That God wants me to have peace. God wants me to have blessing. And there's nothing I can do. It is his goodness, his mercy, his favor. And he wants to give it to me. And I don't have to fight for it. God wants me to have it." Come on. There's nothing you can do that can earn the goodness of God. Listen to what he says. "Come, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy milk and wine without money and without cost." There's nothing you can give him. There's nothing you can give him. He'll give it to you. Look at it says, "Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. Eat what is good and you will delight in the richest affair. Give an ear to me. Come to me. Listen that you may live and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love as I promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the people." Can I just say to you, Jesus says, "I'm not forcing myself upon you. I'm just going to say to you, it's an invitation. If you come to me, you don't have to bring money. You don't have to bring, you know, things of this world. You just come to me and I will satisfy your thirst. I will fill your hungry belly. That which you're looking for in purpose and meaning of your existence, it's all found in God, but he will not force himself upon you. You need to come to him." He's not kicking down the door of your life. Here's the last thought. Jesus removes heaviness and he lifts burdens from you. Listen to what it says. "Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. I won't put anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me." Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here's an invitation. Look at me, church. This Easter Sunday morning, tired, worn out, burnt out, trying to find happiness. You've been running so hard. Here is an invitation. You don't have to come and buy your salvation. You don't have to earn your salvation. God's not going to put on you some things that are too heavy and too hard. He just says, "Come to him just the way you are, and he will satisfy your thirst, and he will fill your hunger, and you'll know what real peace is, and you'll walk with God, and you'll know his peace." It is an invitation. Come on, somebody thank God for the invitation. Amen. This Easter Sunday morning,
I want to extend to you an invitation to simply, there's nothing I could do. People say, let me just get myself together, then I'll come to church. You can never get yourself together. It's because we can't get ourselves together that he came. There's one God. Somebody say amen. There is one God. And Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And he said, anyone who comes to me, I will receive. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And if you hear him knocking, and if you open your heart to him, he will come. He will not kick the door down. But if you hear him knocking, and I believe this morning Jesus is knocking on the door of many people's hearts this morning. Do you believe it, church? Come on, do you believe it, church? This Easter Sunday morning. What a tragedy. What a shame. What a failure of the church that people should come to church Easter Sunday morning and not be given the opportunity to receive who Jesus is. You can't buy your salvation. You can't earn your salvation. He says, come to me. Don't bring your money. I don't need your money. Just come to me. And I will eat with you, and I will drink with you, and I will walk with you, and I will give you rest, and you will learn the unforced rhythms of grace, and I will bless you. And I want to pray for you this morning, and everybody online, I want to pray for you this morning. If you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I want to know this Jesus you're speaking about. Steve, I want to get right with God. Maybe this morning I talked about that man who was a demoniac. Maybe you've been plagued by nightmares and just things that are dark in your life. Can I tell you, Jesus has power over those things. Maybe this morning you're just tired of trying to get your life together and trying to define what's right from wrong. Maybe this morning you just say, Steve, this morning I need to get back to the garden. I need to just learn to live by God's word and God's wisdom. Maybe you once gave your life to Jesus, but you know today you're not living for him like you once were. Here's an invitation. Look at me. Here's an invitation. Come to the garden. Don't come to me, and you're certainly not coming to this church, but you're saying, God, I'm going to get back to your garden. I'm going to live by your wisdom. I want to pray for people this morning. Who's believing with me? People are going to meet Jesus. Come on, who's believing with me? People are going to meet Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I am going to ask you right where you're seated in just a moment when we close our eyes, when we bow our heads, I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing. If you say, Steve, I want to know this Jesus you speak of. Steve, I want to know this Jesus that the Bible described, who will actually walk with me. He's not putting heavy things on me. He's not putting ill-fitting things on me. I want to know this Jesus that I can walk with him. I want to know this Jesus that will never leave me and never forsake me and will carry me through the hardest parts of my life. I want to know this Jesus who created me and knows right from wrong, because I sure don't. I want to pray for you this morning just by you simply lifting your hands high enough and long enough. Just hold it in the air so I can pray with you and for you. And I'm believing today many people will make that decision. Church, can we all close our eyes? Can we all bow our heads all over the building? My friend, if that's you and I'm talking to you and you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I want to know Jesus. Steve, I want to get right with God. Steve, I want to get to God this morning. Would you lift your hand right now all over the building? Just lift it. God bless you. 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 Their hands all over the building. Come on, keep lifting them. Come on, keep lifting them. Come on, keep lifting them. There. God bless you. There's another hand there. God bless you. Who else? Over the sound desk, I see your hands. Up in that triangle, I see your hands. Over there, I see a whole row of hands right there. Come on, who else? I see that hand right there. Come on, there's another hand way up the back there. Up on the front row right here. My last call. If you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. If you haven't lift it now. Right up there. Thank you, sir. I see you waving at me. Church, can we give a lot of hand for every single person? Come on. Online, you click that button as well. Let's all pray this prayer, everybody. Hey, church, look at me. Happy Easter. It's more than an Easter bunny. And I love the bunny. We had the bunny yesterday. But I'm not threatened by Easter losing its meaning over a bunny. Jesus is far more powerful than that. Amen? That's religion. Religion. You know, that's religion. You know, Jesus is not intimidated by a bunny. He made the bunny. The whole story of Santa was inspired by a Christian man who went around giving gifts. Jesus is not worried that the meaning of Christmas is lost by Santa. That's religion. Somebody said to me one day, Pastor, if Santa comes to this church one more time, I'm going to have to leave. I said, well, I hope you can find a church where they crucify Santa, because we're not going to curse the darkness. We're going to light a candle. Amen. Our God is bigger than a Santa Claus and an Easter bunny. He is the King of Kings. This is Resurrection Sunday morning. He's alive. He's alive. Amen. Oh, it's Resurrection Sunday morning. He is alive. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is risen with healing in his wings. He's the fourth man in the fire. He's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel. God is with us. Everybody pray this prayer out loud. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me, that you died for me. I ask you to come into my life right now. I receive you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. You can be seated.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.